Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Billy Horn, and you're listening to the Raspy Voice Kids.
This is the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. You are listening to Brandon Phoenix. I also hate Pitt is the name. I'm with my brother,
JM Phoenix, in the building.
Today it's time for pop culture.
Pop.
All right. So, Jeremy, what are we doing today?
I'm feeling good.
Feeling
so good. Yeah, man. I was about to start getting into other things that made me feel good. We'll talk about the Baylor game here in just a little bit. But in the meantime, for pop culture, we're going to talk about, what are we talking about?
The Social Dilemma.
Social Dilemma, that's right.
Social Dilemma is a movie on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it.
Documentary on Netflix.
Yes, it's a docudrama.
Okay, yeah.
It's a docudrama.
Don't get real technical, all right.
Yeah, because there's documentary features, but they also have a dramatic.
No, I agree.
So it's a combination of both. It gives you facts with a little bit of reality-based fiction. And to me, it was dope. I thought it was great because it got behind the scenes on something that we're all involved in, and that is social media.
Social media. We talk about it all the time. It's all around us, and that's what it looks at. And that's what it deals with. Matter of fact, it goes in-depth with some of the creators and the CEOs.
Yeah, but see, executives.
To help develop.
Presidents.
Yeah.
People, founders, people who helped develop social media.
Whether it's Pinterest, whether it's Instagram,
Facebook.
Whether it's Facebook. They go into all that.
Twitter.
And the main thing is they talk about how it's driven. How their main focus is to consume most of your time. And there's specific things that happen, and depending on what you click on, this whole thing is completely tailored, completely catered to what you look at, how long you look at it, how many clicks you give to certain things, so that your entire time and all your excess time and attention can be consumed by their product.
And you say excess time and attention, but this is not about excess time and attention. This is about your time and attention. All of it. They want all of it, all the time, any way they can get it. And the thing that gets me, the thing I said, I talked to Kyle Federline about this from Parent Quest and from Real Dudes Podcast. We talked about this last night.
Back then, they called him K-Fed, but you could call him Daddy instead.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Shout out to K-Fed, Carl. That's his name on Twitter, Carl Federline, but Kyle Federline. Shout out to the homeboy. But the song I really think about when I think about Kyle is Black Coffee, No Sugar, No Cream.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, for those who know, that's the song I think about. But we talked about the social dilemma, and one of the things we talked about is that, to me, I was surprised that it did not hit on, and there are some spoilers in this, just a spoiler alert. I was surprised it did not hit on the similarities between social media and big tobacco and fast food.
That's true.
And the reason I say that is because social media presents itself as unassuming, presents itself as a good time.
Hey, here you go.
Presents itself as fun. But really, there's more to the story. The same Absolutely. Thing as fast food. Jeremy, can you name a fast food company, a fast food restaurant, that does not have yellow or red in their logo?
No yellow or red in their logo.
Name one.
Give me 10 seconds. And go.
10, 9, Ooh. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3,
I 2, can't.
1.
I can't. White Castle. That was white.
In the old days, you were right, but now they have yellow in their logo, in the castle.
Okay. Okay. Well, they
In the old days, you're right. It used to be blue and white, but Oof. Now they have yellow in there.
That was after the buzzer, you know, throw the challenge flag.
White Castle is the only one I could ever think of, too.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yellow and red have an effect on our psyche. They actually have an effect on us, on our hunger, on desire, on impulse. And most people have no idea. Big Tobacco did the same thing. What I'm talking about is you're battling something. You're trying to say no to something, or you're fighting against something that you don't even know you're actually fighting. You're in a battle. You don't even know you're actually in a battle. They know they're in a battle for your mind and your heart. You have no idea. So as we say, you get got.
Okay. I know that you feel this very interesting. For honestly, I watch The Social Dilemma. I'm not telling you not to watch it. I didn't really learn a whole lot. I mean, all right, that was interesting. But everything else they said, I kind of knew already.
Like
everything you do and click on, they know and record, and then they try to do something to present you with the same type thing so you keep watching. That's the reason why, in my mind, when I start talking to friends, not even on my phone, and then I get on my phone and the first ads that pop up are what we were just talking about, that's how I know, first of all, the phone's listening, and they are
always
listening. Or I go to East Bay, a shoe company or you know, a grilling place, and then I go to ESPN, and at the bottom of ESPN, there's ads for exactly the same grilling equipment I just was looking at 20 minutes ago on a totally different website. And granted, that's not social media, but those are websites, but that's how everything's working these days. You know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't really surprised. And the fact that they do things that consume your time and, hey, how about you check out this? The funny thing is, you can know it all you want, but the question, I guess, is, are you letting it consume your time?
Yes is the answer. Yes. For most people today, it is consuming us. Because they lumped in this, not just social media, email, text messaging. Like, for example, when you're texting somebody, how do you know they're texting you back?
It says it.
The little ellipses, the little three dots. Populated, let you know.
And I dare you to say that when you text somebody and those three dots pick up, you're like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to look at my phone for 10 minutes. No, you sit right there.
Sit right there.
Till it's done. 100%. Hopefully, or you're depressed as you keep seeing those buttons and then nothing comes through.
And all social media has that now, so it gives you an alert, basically, that somebody is responding to you. Or, they want to keep you engaged.
Or if you're left on scene.
Oh my goodness, left on red.
You know,
there's nothing worse than being left on red.
I mean, I wouldn't know, but you know.
Yeah. I'm sure. But it's just crazy to me. So the question is, are you going to delete your social media? And my answer is no, because for one,
everybody's answer is no, okay?
There are some people who have. Facebook got so worried about it, they put out a 2-page, 7-point document to refute the claims made in The Social Dilemma.
Got you. And so,
and normally Facebook does not respond to
these kinds
of things. I wonder
if Facebook said, to all you losers who are thinking about... No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
Just joking.
Just teasing. If I was going to delete anything, it would be Facebook. Facebook is the most clunky. It's the most cumbersome. It's too big. It's too big. It's like... What? It's just too much. Facebook is too much. Facebook is too involved. Jeremy said something off the record, but anyway, it's just too much. If I was going to get rid of anything, it would be Facebook. My favorite is Twitter. Twitter's my favorite.
Twitter's definitely my favorite.
Easily. It's not even close. Instagram is second. Then Snapchat and Facebook are probably about the same to me.
Nah, Facebook gives me a little bit more than Snapchat. Snapchat
serves its purpose.
Snapchat says
Snapchat serves its purpose.
Stays in its lane. But that's it. That's all we got. Have you watched The Social Dilemma? It's on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix.
We need to get some money for constantly shouting out Netflix and different things, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, Netflix should be sponsoring.
Let us know how you feel. Social media. You about to give it up? You staying with it? You feel exploited? I don't. But
you don't
feel
exploited. Wait a minute. You don't feel exploited.
I don't feel exploited. I know I have been and am, but I don't feel exploited.
That's a very little intricate dance you're doing there.
It's truth. Real. All day.
All right. That's the RPK.
By myself.
By myself. All day.
You won't go night-night?
That's the RVK's position on the social dilemma. What do you think about the social dilemma? Let us know when you listen to this. Tweet at us. It's usually the most effective way. You can also get at us on Anchor by leaving a voice message. You can message us on Instagram, Facebook, any place where the RVK inhabits on our social media because we have our own social dilemma. Holla at your boys. Yeah, boys.
Rat me boys.
Big shout to Shrinkables. Shrinkables. Supporting the RVK partnership since day one.
Game three. Baylor came storming into Morgantown. The Mountaineers are ready for him. A battle, an all-out battle. Not one overtime, but two overtimes. Came to prove who truly wasn't the bottom of the Big 12.
Hey, we are not Kansas.
Excuse me.
We are not Kansas.
We came away with a W. Third game, 2-1. Good results because we got the W. There's a lot to think about. A lot of people are talking this and that. Overall feeling, Brandon, how'd you feel about the game?
I felt like the defense showed itself again. It showed itself to be legitimate. It showed itself to be solid. Oklahoma State, we were left out on the field so much. Again, with 12 penalties, 4 turnovers, the defense was left out there on the field way too much yet again, but they showed up all but maybe about 60 seconds at the end of regulation. Offense, ridiculous. The offense is absolutely ridiculous. Jarrett Daigie is near the bottom of the Big 12 in QBR. I believe he ranks number 7 at like 58.4 for QBR. But Letty Brown's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. 80-something percent of that is after contact, I believe.
He almost went for 100 yards again. Again.
Yes. And he had not great blocking. The best offensive lineman, James Gmitter, was out. Zach Frazier played well yet again.
Amen.
But the rest of the offensive line, not super happy about him.
Let's deal with the positives
and
first.
And also, the other thing I'm not happy about, special teams. Another major special teams blunder.
We'll come back to that. Let's start out with the things we love. And you know, the defense, man, they're playing ball. They gave up 27 rushing yards. I remember after the Oklahoma State game, a lot of people were worried about what we were going to do against this Baylor rushing attack. Here's the thing. Darius said it last year. They're soft. I was worried. Last year, they proved it. This year, was it going to be motivation for Baylor to get it right?
That's what I was afraid of.
They showed it again. Darius, 2.5 sacks.
4 tackles.
Fields doing his thing. Mezzador with another sack. Like, these dudes played ball. When they said they're soft, it was very clear they're soft. And like I said, the defense played that way. The interceptions, the way they, group tackle to the ball, flew around
swarmed to the ball.
We didn't have Cohen. Cohen wasn't even in the game. And we still, man, we are playing such good football on defense right now. It's a beautiful thing to see. The interceptions, the hands, I'm telling you, bro, defensively, we look so good.
We look so good that we're actually ranked number 1 in total defense in the Big 12. We're number 3 in rushing defense at 102 yards per game. Number 1 in passing defense at 166 yards per game. Number 1 in red zone touchdown percentage allowed at 40%. In total tackles, we're number 1. Tony Fields, the second, has 29 in 3 games. Balling.
Now, here's a question. Now that we got through the stats and giving love, real question. Do you really feel like our defense is this good?
Yes.
Brandon.
I actually believe that.
Okay.
I actually believe that. Baylor had 47 points against Kansas. Now, granted, it was Kansas, but to score 47 points, you got to be able to score.
Didn't Oklahoma State score about the same amount against Kansas?
Yes, but Oklahoma State is going to get better on offense as time goes on. Because here's what you got to remember about the redshirt freshman. The redshirt freshman didn't practice because of quarantine, because of contact tracing. Okay.
I'm asking. I want to know your real opinion.
I genuinely believe this defense. I believe this defense. Now, I don't know that this is the best defense.
Before you start, let me just say, we played Eastern Kentucky University, which is one of the worst offenses, period.
Yeah, one of the worst teams, period.
We played Oklahoma State with a backup freshman quarterback.
Freshman quarterback.
The week before, they couldn't do anything against, Tulsa. Now we're playing Baylor. Now the only thing is it possible that maybe they just beat up on a weak Kansas team? I'm just saying, think about that. And by the way, I'm not telling you what to think. I'm not telling you or the rest of Mountaineer Nation what to think. I'm just asking the question now that you realize.
I believe yes, because, again, this defense has been done no favors by the offense. The offense does not eat up clock.
Very, very true.
The offense turns the ball over. The offense gets penalized. Special teams has been garbage, and yet they still are number one in the conference with all of that stacked against them, being put in bad position after bad position, bad field position, bad mental and momentum position, and yet they're still number one. I'm not saying that they're the best necessarily. They are right now statistically, but I think this is a very good defense legitimately.
Okay, so here's my opinion.
And mind you, Tony Fields has not been playing. Is not playing 100% of the snaps. Tony Fields did not play. I think he played 26 snaps the first game.
So here's my opinion. I said that, and I look. And I realize I honestly feel like we haven't played any good offenses. Like Oklahoma State was supposed to be. They are not. I don't care what they did last week. We saw what they did against Tulsa. You have a freshman quarterback. I honestly feel like we have not been tested yet this year. That is a straight up truth. We have not been tested this year. That being said, the eye test passes for me. The speed of the linebackers, the ability for our defensive line to get pressure, I think we're for real. I look at our cornerbacks, their swag, the way they guard. I think we are for real. I don't think that being one of the top 10 defenses in the country, I think that's a product of playing really weak offenses right now.
And also having about 50 teams not playing football.
That's right. But are we going to be a top 25 defense? Absolutely. Do I think that we have the players and they have this grit and grind and they're getting the confidence? Absolutely. I don't think we're as elite as we are showing at this moment, but I still, they passed the eye test for me.
They passed my eye test.
I just wanted to pause. I just want to throw that out there because I know there's some people that think about.
I don't think they're the 85 Bears.
But Brandon, did you think about that before I mentioned it?
What?
The offense that they've faced.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I thought about that, but I also thought about how bad our offense has been. Our offense has done them no favors.
Yeah, but we did this against Baylor last year.
You said this yourself. You said it yourself. I thought the defense was good last year.
Yeah.
You said it yourself. The defense never put any pressure on that true freshman quarterback. He never felt, against Oklahoma State, he never felt the fire.
Because the
offense never put them in a position where he had to try to make a play.
West Virginia's offense never scored enough points to make, yeah, there you go.
And we turned the ball over, scoop and score. Gave up a big run to LD Brown.
Down 17, nothing.
He's got nothing to worry about.
His offensive coordinator says, hey, look, turn a hand off the ball.
Yeah. Turn a hand off the ball. Easy thinking dunk throws.
Amen.
Coverages are to his advantage. So that's why I give credit to the defense because they've been put in bad positions, even if they are not great offenses.
Yeah.
Eastern Kentucky, I throw out the window. I throw that all the way out the window. But you got to remember, other teams have played bad offenses too.
Yeah. I just wanted look. We keep it real on this, so I don't.
Keep it 100.
So I wanted the real evaluation. Let's get to the other side of the ball. Offensively, it's been rough.
I tweeted
the offensive output has been rough, but let's break it down. Is it everything? You know, how do we really feel about it?
I got rankings for that too.
All right, let's see.
The total offense in the Big 12, we rank number 5. That's middle of the pack. 441 yards per game, which is not terrible. Rushing offense is number 3 at 177 yards per game.
Nice.
Huge improvement over last
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
Passing offense is number six at 264 yards per game.
Okay, not
bad. Little higher than I expected, to be honest.
Me too.
Out of 10, it's six. Still not good. Not even close. First half rushing, number one, with Letty Brown leading the way, 232 yards. First half receptions, number one, Sam James with 14 catches. Does not list how many drops he's had.
All right, we'll get to that. Hey, calm down. Bump the brakes. Okay. So what do you think about this offense? We're talking real talk.
Before the season started.
Real talk for week three. Things could change. We're right now, game three, going into game four. Brandon.
You were worried about the receivers going into the season. I told you I was not worried. I was wrong. You were right. I thought these receivers would be a lot stronger, a lot more physical. I thought 50-50 balls would not be 50-50. They have been 90-10 in favor of the defense. I thought that the offensive line, I actually thought the offensive line was going to be a problem. And the offensive line has been a problem in pass blocking. Even run blocking has not been great. Letty Brown's got a lot of yards off of making people miss and off of breaking tackles.
I firmly stand behind them run blocking. It is head and shoulders better than what it was last year.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you want to see.
But it's not
better. It's three times better than it was last year. Four times better than it was last year.
And it's still not good, which tells you a lot about last year.
It is good, actually. It actually is good. I don't think it's amazing.
You think the run blocking is good?
I think it's good. Yes.
I think it's okay.
Run blocking is good. Now, whereas we talked about Baylor and Oklahoma State's offense, their defense, to me, can't be questioned. Now, you could say, hey, look, we didn't put
Oklahoma State's defense can't be questioned.
You would say, oh, hey, well, Baylor's either. Baylor played some heck of ball games last year. They held Georgia 26 in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
like,
true.
So here's the thing. Their defenses are legit, and we're still able to run the ball against them. Their offense may be garbage, but defensively, and the problem is, running up all these yards, our run offense is good. But it doesn't equate when you don't put points on the board. People don't care about it. You know, we're talking about all offensive stats, how many yards we throw for and run for, how we had so many yards against Oklahoma State. Doesn't matter if situationally down inside the 20-yard line, we can't put the ball in the end zone.
Which is interesting because against Baylor, guess what our red zone percentage was?
What?
4 for 4 touchdowns.
Okay, well, okay.
Now, we did not get in the red zone very often. But we made it four times and scored
Hold
four
up.
Touchdowns.
4 for 4 touchdowns. Okay,
we scored 27 points.
Yeah, yeah. Two of them were in overtime when you start in the red zone. And I understand.
But they scored in the red zone.
I'm just saying that's a little watered down.
The field shrinks. The defense has the advantage. And we scored touchdowns four times out of four times in the red zone.
I think it's
so. I give credit because our red zone offense has been bad prior to this.
We'll give credit. I think it's more of a bend but don't break. Hey, West Virginia can't go 80 yards and score a touchdown. They can go 25 yards, but they can't go 80 yards. So we'll bend, but we won't break. Anyway. But I'm loving West Virginia's offense. I really solidly like.
I don't understand. You're loving their offense.
The run blocking.
Okay.
I really am. I think they're doing a good job.
Okay.
The creativity needs to be there.
So you're calling on Gerard Parker, and you're calling on Neil Brown.
And I'm calling on the pass blocking, man. The pass blocking.
Pass blocking is atrocious. Our tackles are atrocious.
It's terrible, and, you know, you bring tight ends in there to help them chip a little bit, but you got to do something more.
They didn't do that much against Oklahoma State tight end-wise. They did more of that against Baylor, it seemed like,
yeah,
to me.
Because you saw there was a real problem. 14-point output. Think about these games, Brandon. We're killing them statistically. And where does the big problem come in? Go ahead, talk about it. Let's get to the final two. We're going to put them together. Special teams and penalties. Go ahead.
Special teams and penalties.
Oh, well, turnovers.
Two games in a row.
Turnovers, too.
Two games in a row, 12 penalties, which is a high for Neil Brown WVU teams. 12 penalties, over 100 yards, which is worth, according to statistically, it's worth about 7 points when you give up 100 yards worth of penalties. And here we are, two games in a row, giving up 7 points.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
On just penalties. We're not including the four
like
turnovers.
Like Drake, back to back. Two games in a row.
Four turnovers, including a special teams blunder again. Bryce Ford Wheaton running into Alex Sinkfield.
Always. And I know it's like, it's a crazy freak move. No, only our team.
Was it you, Jeremy, that said it's Joe DeForest coaching special teams again?
No, that's what I said. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Morgantown, but we suddenly cannot play special teams for the last decade. It's crazy to me.
For the life of me.
I cannot believe. Yeah, so that, penalties, turnovers, drop passes.
Oh my goodness, we're going to get the elephant in the room. Let me say this. I always start out saying this first. There is talent at receiver at West Virginia.
Lots of talent. There is
big time talent at West Virginia at receiver. The thing Sam James and Bryce Wheaton could do sometimes, running and cutting and getting open, is something you can't teach. They can be All-Americans, Brandon. Their talent is good enough to be All-Americans.
The overtime back shoulder catch by Bryce Ford Wheaton was something of beauty, a thing of beauty.
But you know what you can't be an All-American doing?
Gator arm.
Dropping passes. You don't win All-Americans for dropping passes. You're not All-Conference for dropping passes. Like, yeah, we won that game. That ball was perfectly thrown by Teach Me How to Deggy across the middle, in between the safety and the corner, on third or maybe second and long in the fourth quarter, and it goes between Sam James' hands. Like, athletically, you can't teach what he has. He has to just lock down. Last year, he didn't get there. This year is looking more of the same. Sam James, baby, SJ, I need you. I ain't talking about Sean John. I need you, baby. Get them hands ready. Concentrate on the ball. If he does that, man, our receiving corps could be one of the best in the country.
Especially when you consider Winston Wright is doing his thing.
Yeah.
He didn't blow up, didn't do anything special against Baylor, but I believe he had 4 catches.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's all there out in front of us. I like that we haven't played our best offensive ball yet because we're 2-1 with good defense. We could be 3-0 had we played offense, but we didn't. But it's all out there in front of us. Kansas is a great game to get a tune-up in. You get a bye week, then you get Kansas. So it's looking like we got a lot to look forward to.
Sorry, I like Deggy. I like the way he throws. Last game, he kind of made me feel a little uneasy, a little bit more uneasy than I have been about him.
The interceptions.
That one pass, where in the world was he throwing
where
it?
Where was he throwing it?
I mean, there's five white jerseys. Where in the world was he?
Just grateful it wasn't a pick six.
You know? I will say, I'm sorry. I'll still go back to, if the tackles can't block, I need to see Garrett Green.
I tweeted that.
G2, baby.
I tweeted,
that's his name, G2.
I tweeted, time for Garrett Green, but the problem, G squared is what it should be.
Okay.
But the problem is, you're not going to see Garrett Green, Jeremy. Neil Brown is not that kind of coach. He's not putting in a true freshman over a redshirt junior. No,
but here's the thing. Even against Baylor, we saw them bring up the backup quarterback to run specific plays. Why can't we just get a – I'm not saying let Garrett Green start. I'm saying give him some plays.
Not going to happen. If it happens, I'll be so surprised. I'll be surprised. But I just would bet, if I had to gamble, I would tell you it's not going to happen.
I don't know. I'm hoping, you know.
How long did it take to get Jared Daigie over Austin Kendall when it was that obvious last year?
You keep saying that. And every time I say last year was different because they were holding his red shirt. They didn't want to waste it last year because they knew they weren't going to be any good. And they were holding. So you notice he played all 4 of his games that he could retain his red shirt.
That's true. Neil Brown just strikes me as too conservative to play a guy like Garrett Green, a true freshman, over a redshirt junior.
Keep saying true freshman. I see plenty of other teams playing true freshmen.
I said Neil Brown seems too conservative to me to do that. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm not telling you it's a bad idea. I'm telling you that Neil Brown seems too conservative to do that.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. But all I know is something has to change on offense.
Something's got to change. Well, something's got to change if we're going to win the conference, but I don't think we're going to win the conference this year. I think we need to be happy with a top 3 or 4 finish. That should be our goal this year.
But
the conference is wide open with Oklahoma losing again 2 weeks in a row, Texas losing to TCU.
It's safe for the taking. Just put Garrett Green.
Yeah.
I'm not, like I said, it's Deggie's team. Deggie's the quarterback. Give me some Garrett Green option plays. That's what I need.
All right, this is what the RVK thinks. This is what we saw. This is how we feel. Let us know what you think. Get at your boys, the RVK. Holla at us.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.